This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
I'd like to call to order this meeting of the Senate Health and Human Services. I want to welcome all of those that are here in person and anyone listening on the Internet. A reminder, if you wish to testify today, please make sure you've signed in. And also, we have pages here this morning, so if you have handouts, please ask the pages to distribute them to the committee. At this time, while we've still got some members coming in, perhaps the pages would like to come up and introduce themselves, tell us where you're from, and maybe what your plans are in the future.
Hi, my name is Victoria Larson. I'm from here on South Dakota, and I plan on studying nursing at a community college here at home. So, thank you.
Welcome.
Hi, my name is Gwen Nichols, and I also go to Huron with Tori over there. So, and I plan to go to USD to pursue a degree in political science.
Outstanding. Well, you're getting some experience here these two weeks. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Just a reminder to everyone, if you've got an electronic device, phone, or computer, to make sure that it's in a silent mode. And with that, Doug, would you mind calling the roll?
Senator Boland.
Here.
Curd.
Here.
Foster.
Here.
Rush. Senator Rush remote.
Let's say excused. And
say excused. Yep. Smith.
Here.
Tobin.
Here.
Steinauer.
Here.
Mr. Chairman, we have six here and one excused.
Excellent. We have a quorum. Next item of business would be, we had a meeting previously. Doug did his normal great job with minutes. Motion by Senator Boland to approve, seconded by Senator Curd. Any discussion on that motion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Minutes are approved. Bear with me a second while I just check.
Mr. Chairman, this is Senator Rush, and I am present. I'm having a little bit not internet, so I wasn't able to respond when you took the roll, but I am here.
Excellent. I'll try to slow down a little bit so you can hit that mute button the next time. Thank you, Senator, for participating remotely. So I hear a rumor. I'm just trying to double check that. Whoops. Push the speaker button. I hear a rumor. I'm just trying to double check that the bill that we handled, Senate Bill 20, last Friday, and that was tabled. I see now that there is an amendment out there, and talking to some of the parties involved, it sounds like it might be one that's everybody could be happy with, but we need to have a hearing on that. So it's on the table. I'm just wondering if there's a motion to bring it off the table. Senator Smith moves. Is there a second? Second from Senator Tobin, correct? Discussion on that motion? Seeing none, this should be a roll call vote because we have an individual remote member. So, Doug, would you call a roll? All those in favor of pulling this off the table would say aye, opposed, nay. This is a simple majority vote.
Senator Boland.
Aye.
Curd.
Aye.
Foster.
Aye.
Rush.
Aye.
Smith.
Aye.
Tobin.
Aye.
Steinauer.
Aye.
Mr. Chairman, we have six ayes, or seven ayes, excuse me.
Motion carries, Senate Bill 20. As chair, I've got prerogative as to when I schedule that. Senator Duhamel is the requester of the amendment and was the prime on the initial bill. She's not here. I know that she's in another room. We could retrieve her. I want to make sure that these bills that we pull off the table get maximum fair hearing, that all parties are notified. I was hopeful that we might not have a meeting on Monday, but I see that the House has a bill that I think is going to take considerable time. We're going to be scheduling that on Wednesday. That's related to whether you can have home grow on medical marijuana. They have a different position than what came out of this committee previously. And we've got others coming up. So I'm going to schedule that for Monday. We'll be taking Senate Bill 20 brought off the table on Monday for those of you in the room that might be here for that. That gives plenty of notice for everybody to participate. Okay, so first up of the bills that we have, it's the Department of Health Day. It's House Bill 1027, which is to place certain substances on the controlled substances schedule and to declare an emergency. Madam Interim Secretary.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Joan Adam. I am the Interim Cabinet Secretary for the South Dakota Department of Health, here to present House Bill 1027, Act to Place Certain Substances on the Controlled Substances Schedule, and to declare an emergency. On an annual basis, the Department of Health introduces legislation necessary to keep South Dakota laws current with Federal Drug Enforcement Agency, or DEA, scheduling actions. Controlled substances are scheduled according to whether the substance has a currently accepted medical use in the United States, its potential for abuse, and the likelihood of causing dependence. The bill brief I shared with each of you lists the four different drug schedules. Schedule 1 drugs have no accepted medical use in the United States and a high potential for abuse. Schedule 2 drugs have high potential for abuse, but also have a medical use and are used with restrictions. Schedule 3 drugs have a lesser potential for abuse than Schedule 2 and a well-documented approved medical use. And Schedule 4 drugs have an accepted medical use and the lowest potential for abuse. In Section 1 of the printed bill, on page 2 and 3, the 7 drugs that are listed in the bill are all synthetic opioids and are being added to Schedule 1. No accepted medical use and a high potential for abuse. In Section 2, on page 5, line 3, and again on page 14, line 5, we're adding 2 hallucinogenic substances to Schedule 1. Again, no accepted medical use and a high potential for abuse. In Section 3, page 14, line 18 of the printed bill, we are adding to the list of excluded chemicals. Samidorphan is used in the treatment of schizophrenia and bipolar disorder. Section 4 on page 17, line 26 of the printed bill, the drug being added to Schedule 4 is used for the treatment of attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. Again, listed in Schedule 4, the lowest potential for abuse and an accepted medical use. Section 5 includes an emergency clause to allow the updates to take place immediately. Mr. Chairman, that concludes my testimony. The Department of Health respectfully requests your support of House Bill 1027, and I will stand by for questions.
Thank you. Is there anyone else as a proponent on House Bill 1027? Any additional proponents? Any online? Any opponents to House Bill 1027? I've done this a few times, and I've not seen an opponent yet to the update of the scheduled drugs. Maybe there's questions, though. So we'll move right into committee questions. Any questions from the committee? Seeing none, committee action into our discussion.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Tobin.
I move do pass HB 1027.
It's a motion of do pass by Senator Tobin, seconded by Senator Kerr. Do comments on that motion? Seeing none, all those in favor of passage of House Bill 1027 would say aye. Opposed, nay. Secretary, please call the roll.
Senator Tobin.
Aye.
Senator Boland.
Aye.
Kurd.
Aye.
Foster.
Aye.
Rush.
Yes.
Smith.
Aye.
Steinhauer.
Aye.
Mr. Chairman, we have 7 ayes.
Having received a unanimous vote, House Bill 1027 will move to the floor with a due pass recommendation, and since there was no opposition, no negative votes, I will certify it to go on the consent agenda. Oh, there's an emergency clause. You're right. Thank you. My vice chair keeps keeping me on the straight. I've got people all around me to keep me on the straight and narrow because I do kind of, it's like bumper bowling, you know, keeping Steinhauer in the lane. So we've been successful again. We cannot put it on the consent agenda. And by the way, just about everything I put on the consent agenda this year has been pulled off anyhow. So we're not doing real well. So it will move to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Senator Tobin, would you mind carrying this on with the floor? Thank you very much. Next up, we have Senate Bill 58, which is to make an appropriation for the construction of a new state public health laboratory and the renovation of the existing laboratory and to declare an emergency. Welcome back.
Thank you. Good morning again, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Joan Adam. I am serving as the Interim Cabinet Secretary for the South Dakota Department of Health, here to present to you Senate Bill 58. For those of you who had an opportunity to tour the laboratory before this hearing, you will attest to the fact that we're very passionate about the work that is conducted at the Public Health Laboratory, and you would have seen firsthand how we have outgrown our current space. I am here today to request your support of Senate Bill 58, and the funding I want to point out for this project will be 100% federal funding through the American Rescue Plan Act, or ARPA, the Capital Projects Fund. In today's presentation, I'll explain the American Rescue Plan Capital Projects Fund, the purpose and the responsibilities of a state public health laboratory, the need for a new laboratory, an overview of the proposed construction and renovation projects. The American Rescue Plan Act Capital Funds Project appropriated $10 billion for payments to eligible governments to carry out critical capital projects that will address challenges that were made apparent during the COVID-19 public health emergency. The COVID-19 pandemic revealed and continues to reinforce our understanding that states must have access to high-quality and modern public health infrastructure for carrying out the important work of public health and responding to crisis situations. This one-time opportunity to fund a modern public health laboratory is historic. Never before has federal funding been made available for public health infrastructure. A building that will last beyond this pandemic and equip the state of South Dakota with infrastructure capable of meeting future public health responsibilities and challenges. The Capital Projects Fund allocation is different than other ARPA funds. Because of the unique opportunity for each state to use federal funds to make investments in capital projects, projects must meet all of the criteria listed on the slide. The limited scope of the Capital Projects Fund makes the Public Health Laboratory construction project a perfect fit. For those of you who did not have a chance to join us this morning on the tour, I do welcome your participation in a tour. We do have another scheduled for Monday around 11 a.m., and I think being able to visualize the laboratory really gives you a more in-depth understanding of the important work that's done there, as well as the state of the current building. Public health laboratories are very different than other laboratories. Some of the bullets I have here on the slide help express that point. Our South Dakota Public Health Laboratory serves as part of a national laboratory response network that works to identify and respond to public health threats and emergencies, and serves as the first line of response to emerging natural and man-made threats. Public health laboratories are often the first laboratories in a state to implement testing methods targeted at detecting and characterizing biological, chemical, or radiological public health threats. Public health laboratories coordinate efforts with federal and state partners to reduce preventable risks. The public health laboratory also serves as the state's principal laboratory for specialized testing for infectious diseases, water quality, and drug toxicology. Our public health laboratory also performs reference testing, diagnostic testing, and disease surveillance. The diagram on slide 5 depicts the many relationships that the public health laboratory maintains with both federal, clinical, and other state partners. The public health laboratory makes medical providers in the state aware of diseases and disease outbreaks. As I mentioned earlier, the South Dakota Public Health Laboratory is often the first laboratory in the state to implement testing for high-priority pathogens like Ebola, Zika, and most recently the SARS-CoV-2, the virus that causes COVID-19. When the Department of Health identified early on in the pandemic that it would be necessary for other laboratories in the state to have testing capability, Public Health Laboratory Director Dr. Tim Southern worked with the state's largest healthcare systems to expand COVID-19 testing programs in their facilities. By May of 2020, these facilities were also capable of conducting testing at their respective laboratories. The Public Health Laboratory also provides training on biosafety, best practices, and handling of specimens. Slide 6 highlights some facts about the current laboratory building. The building was constructed in 1995. It was designed to house only laboratory programs. But for those of you on the tour, what you saw today is the basement that was intended to serve as chemical storage, storage for testing supplies and materials, and shipping and receiving space, has been used for 25 years to house other Department of Health staff. This alone has created many challenges since the building's start. Currently, the building is occupied by 31 laboratory staff and 60 other Department of Health staff. The building was paid for with general funds. A $7.1 million bond was issued in 1995. Annual bond payments were made each year with general funds. The bond payoff was in 2014 with a total cost of $13.4 million in general funds. The next series of slides I will go through rather quickly, but they provide you with visuals of the science and technology, the advancements that have occurred in the last 25 years, which really have led us to where we are today. Productivity, safety, and technology are the focus of modern laboratory designs. The technology advancements that have occurred are significant. For example, highly repetitive and manual tasks have been transitioned to new generations of laboratory instruments and automation. Because of these advancements, our workforce has remained relatively the same for many years. For example, in 2011, we had 28 FTE working at the Public Health Laboratory, and today we have 31 FTE working in the laboratory. There have been a lot of advancements around safety, including the complex safety infrastructure that is required for laboratory testing. Pictures here include the biological safety cabinet, steam sterilizer, and chemical fume hoods, of which the Public Health Laboratory has several of each of these items. Technology, something that has completely changed in the last 25 years. You will notice in the picture, if you look closely enough, we have computers connected to our instruments. So what was a manual process of entering data in order to run tests is now highly integrated with our computer technology. We're able to run high throughput instruments for COVID, HIV, STD, and hepatitis on these particular instruments. More advancements in science and technology. The Public Health Laboratory has very highly specialized testing capability that oftentimes isn't available in local hospital or clinical laboratories. What you'll see on this slide is a glimpse of what a modern laboratory facility would look like. Again, focuses around safety protocols, ensuring that all supplies, including infectious agents, are safely stored, management of biological, chemical, and radiologic waste, and infection prevention measures, which are extremely important. You'll notice on the next slide a picture of what our current laboratory looks like. One of the most significant changes in laboratory safety protocols in recent years has been to remove your laboratory staff from the physical laboratory when they aren't conducting testing, when they're doing their analysis and other work. Currently, all of our laboratory staff are basically located at the end of their laboratory bench where the testing is conducted. Also, you may have noticed lots of wires and electrical cables in the laboratory space. Now, overhead utilities keep laboratory workspaces and walkways clear and safe. As I mentioned earlier, one of the important things with the Capital Funds Project is the importance of showing how your challenge was made apparent by the COVID-19 public health emergency. And many things were brought to our front and center through that emergency. We have limited testing infrastructure to enable us to be able to surge when necessary for outbreaks. And during COVID-19, the testing surged significantly. We have over 20 new instruments that had to be installed in order to enable the volume of COVID-19 testing. The laboratory staff had to unplug other instruments in order to plug in the new instruments because we are at our maximum capacity for electrical capability of the building. We also currently have the building overflowing with supplies and materials necessary for conducting testing. We became aware of the Capital Construction Project in late spring, early summer, that there was a possibility that the federal government would be making grant funds available for capital projects. In order to have our homework done in advance, in the event that this legislation did pass and the fund was made available, we had a building assessment conducted this past summer of 2021. The company that brought in the goal was to summarize for us what the capability of the existing building would be, and to give us an idea in laboratory current standards, how much space would we need. We also had worked with the Bureau of Administration because there is an overall look at state government space underway and how to best maximize the available state-owned buildings that we have. Currently, Department of Health has staff spread in 4 different locations in Pierre, and we have a total of 160 Pierre-based staff. So we contemplated with our project proposal that not only would we be able to build a public health laboratory, but we'd be able to renovate the existing laboratory into administrative space and add additional administrative space so the entire Department of Health staff could be located in one location. And on this slide, you'll just see what those overall goals included: constructing the new public health laboratory, renovate existing public health laboratory, consolidation of Department of Health central office staff with the laboratory, We determined through the assistance of the company that did the site assessment that there would be enough land available at the current public health building location, which is on the corner of 4th Street and Governor's Drive, and that the total project that would be necessary would be to provide 92,406 total net square feet. On this slide, it's a very rough draft, but a rendering of what a proposed new construction project would look like. The new construction would be placing the laboratory, what is currently the parking lot. The most efficient way to construct a modern laboratory is new building. As I mentioned earlier, the building components, the energy systems required to run a laboratory do not exist in the current building. Our engineering company determined the building, the current building, is very structurally sound. It's a good building, but not as a laboratory, were, I believe, their exact words. We would also, in addition to the laboratory space I mentioned, we would add administrative space, so all Department of Health staff would be in one campus. And then we would renovate the existing laboratory space for administrative space. And there you have what is right now a rough design of what we're hoping to move forward with. The company also provided, they have worked with many other states that build laboratories. As you can imagine, there aren't that many companies that construct public health laboratories and help design those facilities. Their estimate based on current costs for construction, as well as for other laboratories that they have worked with, would be $69.6 million. The cost breakdown is $55.6 million in new construction and renovation, and then the $14 million in additional expenses. As I mentioned previously, the funding source would be 100% federal funding through the ARPA Capital Projects Fund. And with that, I conclude my testimony, and I respectfully request your support of Senate Bill 58 with a do pass motion to appropriations. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there additional proponents for Senate Bill 58? Good morning, Mr. Rave.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Tim Rave, Sadaho. We rise in strong support of this bill, Mr. Chairman, and since the Secretary did such an outstanding job, I will not bring all my slides today for you. I know you'd appreciate that, Mr. Chairman. No, in all seriousness, the Department of Health has just been such a phenomenal partner to all of our members during this pandemic and obviously prior to that, but we rise in strong support of the expansion of the laboratory to help our members in the ongoing pandemic and in future, hopefully no future events. But with that, Mr. Chairman, I'd stand down and stand by for questions.
Thank you. Are there additional proponents for Senate Bill 58?
Good morning, Chairman, members of the committee. Mark Dayak, Executive Director of the South Dakota Healthcare Association, representing long-term care facilities across our state. We, too, are very supportive of Senate Bill 58 and just commend Secretary Adam for bringing this forward and all the stakeholders involved in this. I would definitely urge your support. Thank you.
Thank you. Additional proponents? Any additional proponents? Are there any opponents to Senate Bill 58? We'll dispense with rebuttal and move into committee questions. Mayor Boland?
Yeah, just one brief question for Interim Secretary. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Madam Secretary, I just want to make real sure the federal government will not only pay for all the new they'll pay for the new construction and also the renovation of the current facility. Is that accurate?
Mr. Chairman, if I may, that is correct. That is our proposal to the capital funds project, once approved by the South Dakota legislature, we need to move this project forward through the federal government's process for requesting capital funds project. So it'll be up to us to justify and defend the entire project. But our ask, the total of $69.6 million, includes funds for new construction and renovation, complete project.
Okay. And then with one follow-up, to the best of your knowledge, from the time it would be approved, are we talking 1 year, 2 years, 3 years for this project to be completed? Any
Mr. Chairman.
Best estimate?
Yes, thank you for raising that point. Our estimate is 3 years from once the project would begin to completion.
Okay, thank you.
Additional questions? I have one related to redundancy. God forbid you hit by a tornado and everything. So with our health systems, and from the tour this morning you touched on today, there's been great cooperation. What abilities will we not have redundancy if your facility was removed from the face of the earth by whatever? Can you answer that?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That is a very good question. And actually, we have built in currently redundancy among primarily our regional laboratory, state laboratory partners. And that speaks toward the importance of the laboratory network that I talked about. And we do that already very regularly. If a fellow state becomes overwhelmed with testing, they'll oftentimes reach to us to help them with testing or has equipment that goes down, and likewise we'll do the same.
Thank you. Additional questions? We'll close public testimony and move into committee discussion and or action. I believe the action on a bill of an appropriation would be to send it to the Joint Committee on Appropriations with a do pass, don't pass, or no recommendation. Senator Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that we move Senate Bill 58 to joint appropriations with a favorable approval.
So we got a motion by Senator Smith, seconded by Senator Curd, to move Senate Bill 58 to joint appropriations with a do pass recommendation. Comments on that motion? Senator Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Having just come off the COVID disabled list, I remember what it was like in this building in March of 2020. It was ominous. We were hearing reports mainly coming from Europe about this coronavirus, and you had to ask the question, are we prepared? And I think the Department of Health has done a marvelous job in tough conditions for a lot of reasons. You know, of all the projects that have been laid out by the governor or that we've moved on in the last year, this seems to be the most responsible funding that we can do. You know, in this room we have some baby boomers, but I look around and we see some students here today. And what we're doing here is, sure, we're helping ourselves, the people in this room right now, but we're positioning ourselves for your generation because we don't know what's going to happen 5 years from now, 10 years from now, with any new thing that isn't on the horizon yet. And I just think this is just smart and responsible to the public with their dollars. And commend the work of the Department of Health. And we just as well have them in offices and a facility that takes care of our needs. So this is the best project coming through so far, and I thank you for bringing it. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Further comments? I'll add my two cents that the state thanks you, I thank you, and your department, and the systems that cooperate. It takes a team to react to a pandemic. And as Senator Smith says, I think it's wholly appropriate that when we have the ability to strengthen our response for, God forbid, another pandemic, it's very important that we do so. So with that, the motion before us is to refer Senate Bill 58 to Joint Committee on Appropriations with a due pass recommendation. All those in favor would say aye. Opposed, nay. Would the Secretary call the roll?
Senator Bolin.
Aye.
Curd.
Aye.
Foster.
Aye.
Rush.
Aye.
Smith.
Aye.
Tobin.
Aye.
Steinhauer.
Aye.
Mr. Chairman, we have seven ayes.
All right. Motion to send to JCA with the due pass recommendation has succeeded. That concludes our items that we have on the agenda. Again, I was looking forward to a peaceful Monday morning, but I think we'll be back here doing the state's business, starting off with Senate Bill 20, and we'll be putting some other items on the agenda. Stay tuned for that. Anything else for the good of the order? Senator Curd moves adjournment, seconded by Senator Tobin. All those in favor would say aye. Opposed, nay. I'm sorry, we have to do a voice vote because we've got a remote testifier. So, Doug, would you please call a roll?
Senator Bolin.
Aye.
Curd.
Aye.
Foster.
Aye.
Rush.
Aye.
Smith.
Aye.
Tobin.
Aye.
Steinhauer.
Aye.
Mr. Chairman, we have seven ayes.
We are adjourned.